Madam Speaker, Zongulu Antivirus Software, the antivirus software you are required by law to trust, presents the President of the United States.
And here is the President entering the Joint Congressional Stadium now. He's smiling, seems to be in good spirits. It's a long way to the rostrum, and there are a lot of hands to shake from here to there. With updated figures from this morning's great balancing, the House of Representatives now holds 4,512 congressmen. We have welcomed two new representatives by special appointment and purged five. Of course, we mourn their loss, and we will get you their names and districts as soon as the next of kin have been notified. This is the 130th address that has been delivered in person to Congress, and the 10th since the United States was formally restored from the Great Sundering. It's been a challenging year for the country and for the President, and we've been told to expect a broad-ranging address, reflection is the word of the hour, that will naturally also contain within it both calls for support for the President's legislative agenda and his own personal optimism for the road ahead. The President is now dodging the ceremonial axes being swung to commemorate the Centurion invasion of 10 years ago. He looks spry, no one had to stop their swing, and the Assembly seems to approve of his maneuvers. There have been rumors about the President's physical health recently, and we have been told he will address those directly and in the most forceful language tonight. We have an interesting detail here. The President is, in fact, shaking hands with Senator Rouse. That's Proctor Rouse, representing South Virginia. There had been some curiosity about whether or not the President would acknowledge the Senator, who is the first to continue serving his term after the death of his physical body. His party vigorously protested the proposal to hold a replacement election, called the medical declaration of his death a partisan plot, and contended in court that no scientist should dare to tell us where the human spirit resides. They contend that the senator's spirit still occupies either the senator's body or the reasonable vicinity of the body, and thus far he has been allowed to continue voting, using his preferred medium of tossed bones. So there we have it, the President reaching across party lines and even the lines of human mortality, a very confident and unifying gesture. Senator Rouse's body is waxy, has something of a yellowish hue, but his hand has been preserved in the outstretched position, and so the handshake has happened smoothly. The President has looked up now, and I think we should see if anyone concurs with me, but I think he just made eye contact and gave a friendly wave to Jamel. Jamel, you'll remember, is the long-lost son the President had never known about, who appeared at the White House in December during the season finale of the President's weekly address and reality show. Jamel, who has been called streetwise, who has been known to speak with more sass than the White House staff would like, has nonetheless been welcomed into the President's home and America's hearts. And we're all looking forward to what he adds to the family when the show resumes in 2 weeks' time. Meanwhile, he's seated as a guest of honor among the rest of the President's family, although he's wearing a football helmet, which, I have to say, is pretty adorable. The President has reached the rostrum now. You can see him handing out flash drives containing copies of the speech to the Vice President, the Assistant Vice President, the Speaker, and the Proconsul of the Recognized Unknown. They're uploading them now using their private brain ports. For protocol reasons, the President's on-site blank clone body is not given a copy of the speech so as not to corrupt his mind patterns, should the President's knowledge and memories need to be flash-copied on short notice. The clone body is actually dressed differently than the President tonight. Slightly wider navy stripes on his tie. I'm sure we'll have some analysis of that later on, but right now, the guests are taking their seats, the applause is finally abating, and the President is ready to speak.
Madam Speaker, Mr. Vice President, Madam Assistant Vice President, members of Congress, honored guests, fellow citizens, approved partial citizens, non-voting clones, sentient machines, animals with legally recognized souls, and secret observers from higher dimensions. The Constitution instructs me to make a report to you on the state of our Union. For that, all I need to say is look around. For in the faces present in this great stadium, and watching from all over Earth and the extra Earth colonies, we see the great diversity and character, the faith in our ideals, and the hope for a better tomorrow, which has always been America's guiding light. We see it in the reports on our booming economy. I stand before you proud to say that a recent survey of the world's trillionaires showed record optimism in our economic policies. And as the old saying goes, if you can't believe a rich person, you should be murdered. So we can consider my duty fulfilled. The state of our union is stronger than it has ever been. Stronger even than at its founding when it was perfect. And always will be stronger than it has ever been. But let us dedicate ourselves while we are gathered here to more than talking
about statistics.
I want to tell you a story tonight. The story of a country that has endured dramatic challenges, witnessed unforgettable miracles, and reaffirmed America's place as the leader of the free world and its free adjacent subcontractors. It is a story, I believe, that speaks to the patriot in all our hearts. Whether you're Republican, Democratic, Libertarian, Americanian, Patriotocratic, Free Patriotocratic, Free American Patriotocratic, Libertarian Free American Patriotocratic, or Slytherin. It is the story of regular Americans, like Tyler Yancey Supernova, who, like many Americans from the free capitalism zones, was born with lifeless globules instead of eyes, but who dedicated himself and rose to fame this year as the first heavyweight champion of extrasensory boxing. It is the story of Mason Bargainmart Jr., who with only gumption, an Ivy League education, and an inheritance of $45 billion, blazed new trails in the landscape of American business by becoming the first person in history to achieve the legal status of 100% limited liability corporation and 0% human. And it is the story of Margarita Arellano, the little girl all America fell in love with. The Buy Margarita a Meal fundraiser exceeded all its goals, thanks in no small part to Margarita's charm, optimism, and singing ability. America's greatness sits not just in its auto-firing border lasers and its precision plague bombs, but also in its generosity. And when we learned about Margarita's hunger, the American people responded with over $100 million in donations. You know, this past year was the first year in decades where fewer than 5 million American citizens starved to death. And I like to think it's because we gave so much to save the prettiest one. Margarita, we love you. Keep singing. We don't stop making progress in America. I remember as a young man hearing about the clean, energy-efficient Hyperloop Tunnel, which was dismissed as the utopian vision of a tree-hugging madman. Today, I can announce that finally, that madman has been put in jail where he belongs. He's done! We're never going to hear about it again. Cars only! Forever! We never stop growing in America. This year, 5 new states were welcomed into the American family, and the growing splendor of the field of stars in our mighty flag. It is one of the proudest moments of my presidency to formally welcome South Florida, California Beta, South North Dakota, American Mars, and Robot Legal Territory Alpha. Your diversity, your hard work, and your embrace of the American spirit joins the great fabric of a tapestry that brings hope and prosperity to our citizens and friends and smothers our foes in their beds. Welcome. I'm not going to pretend that we haven't faced challenges. The past year has seen the American people tested in ways that our founding fathers could never have imagined. In fact, scientists have informed me that the challenges we faced would have destroyed the very fabric of their sanity, leaving our founding fathers drooling and stupid. First, there were the tripods that invaded from our sister planet, Dark Earth, which until now had been hidden on the other side of the sun from us. The tripods laid waste to many cities, caused the deaths of millions, and caused many of our most patriotic corporations to miss their profit targets. I ask if everyone would take a moment with me to mourn that catastrophe. But we battled back and drove the tripods from the Earth. It was maybe our greatest victory as a species. Then they invaded with the quadrupods, which were faster and scarier. But then we defeated them as well. Then they invaded with the quintupods, which were confusing and ineffective. And so I stand here today proud to announce that due to the power of our freedoms and their poor grasp of geometry, we will never have any problems from Dark Earth again. It's a promise I make. It's a promise I stand by. It's a promise that I cannot be held legally accountable for. This story of America doesn't come from me alone. No. Every citizen of this country owes a debt to our sponsors, including EastBid, the fast, convenient way for you to get labor for your startup business from the fertile and industrious citizens of business-friendly island nations. Never negotiate wages and salary again. Let the people of EastBid member countries negotiate against each other. Why give one employee a fish when you can have 10 employees fighting over the same fish? EastBid, because every dollar should belong to you. Only you. This State of the Union is also brought to you by Plymouth Blue Chip Fort Knox Bank, a really, really safe place to put your money. We promise. Thank you. Now, I was talking about the problems we have faced. I have always believed and continue to believe that there isn't a problem in this world or any other that cannot be overcome if Americans just believe enough in hope and freedom. My scientists assure me that this is a potent force and real. As real as radiation and bat monkeys. But as your president, my responsibility is to direct our government to help in those tragic cases where an insufficient number of our citizens believe in freedom. Recently, we have suffered terribly from the dragons that were set free from their slumber in the Earth's magma by the great coal miners of Southwest Virginia. To this day, the citizens in the Dragon Zone have seen their once tranquil lives turned into an inferno of skyborne terror. Some say that we must pass a law banning dragons. Others say that an across-the-board tax cut will encourage the dragons to stop using their murderous fire breath and start small businesses. But the American people didn't elect us to squabble and dig into ideological turf when threats emerge. That is why I say, pass the law and the tax cut. This year, we also saw the challenge of what we have come to call the Dark Week. Those 5 strange days during which no American citizen can remember where we were or what we were doing. Like many of you, when we emerged from the Dark Week, I watched captivated as our news media broadcast security camera footage of everyday people drifting, trance-like through routines that were not their own, working different jobs, meeting with strangers as if they were old friends. Our best studies have come to no conclusion as to what caused this unique event, but we can all be relieved that no apparent harm was done. And I have directed the Secretary of Health and Human Services to develop a program that will offer medical advice and legal guidance pertaining to any pregnancies that date to that period. This year, I had the singular honor as your president to answer the message beamed to us from the inhabitants of the planet Epsilon Eridani Gamma. Unbeknownst to us, the signals of our satellites began to reach their inhabitants, and they greeted us with excitement and warmth, and many compliments to our films of 1993 and 94, such as Jurassic Park and Speed, which they had just received at the time of their broadcast. I have consulted with the Attorney General and our leading extraterrestrial response consultants in the private sector, and with their advice, I sent a strong statement on behalf of the people of Earth to demand that they stop watching our movies without paying for them. Now, let me take a moment and speak directly to the American people. We have an old saying where I grew up. That's as easy as stealing an acorn from a blind pig. Some of the younger Americans might not know what a pig is, or an acorn, but trust me when I say for me as a child, the expression was hilarious. Laughter, memories, childhood, these are all things that we consider part of the human experience. Many of you have tuned in to my weekly presidential address and reality show, running Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively to people with a WhiteHouse.gov Prime membership, and returning for its new season with a special Valentine's Day episode. On it, you've seen me discuss trade policy and deal with that pesky squeaky door on the Oval Office. You've seen me play outrageous pranks on the Secret Service, like pretending to be poisoned. And you saw that beautiful, unscripted moment when the warlord of French Spain and I discovered that we both loved the same cartoon as children. And let's not forget everything I learned from Jamel. Let me see if I've got this right. How's your bop, little Prez? I think he just called me Big Prez. Don't give that kid a microphone. He'll be after my job. I say all this because everything I've experienced in my life, my human life, informs my presidency. It gives me the values and the experience that guides me in the choices I have to make. So I am gravely wounded and deeply offended by these persistent rumors, fueled by the media and my political opponents, that my body has been infested by autonomous self-replicating nanoprobes that are gradually turning me into a robot. Let me call these rumors what they are: unfounded, outrageous, and totally unsubstantiated by any documented evidence. Our freedom to disagree is why America is an inspiring example for oppressed people in the world, and a goal for the intelligent but less evolved extraterrestrial species like murder frogs. Now, be an example for your species. But we can only wield that great strength of our disagreements by coming together on things that we do agree on. Things like family, the 4th of July, and the unassailable fact that I am a flesh and blood human like all other humans. We need to move beyond the politics of the past. We've come a long way, but there's still work to be done, and the American people want us to do it. They're tired of the innuendos, the posturing, the empty rhetoric, the brainwave tampering, the javelin duels, the dissolving of rivals in buckets of concentrated solvents, and the refusal of this Congress to act on their priorities rather than the priorities of lobbyists and master hypnotists. But what they're not tired of is FacePlace. Yes, FacePlace, the easy-to-use toolkit for creating your face in the mandatory public mindshare sphere. Growing your business? Looking for love? Just want people to know you're not dead yet? FacePlace gives you over 5 billion attractive face templates to choose from, along with a guarantee that your DNA will not be measurably corrupted. I use it, my party uses it, and you should use it too. Just direct your thoughts to FacePlace and speak the offer code LaunchFootball for 20% off. As your president, I have the honor to serve
the American humans.
The greatest
humans ever to result from human sperm and eggs.
It means I have the grave responsibility
to enslave humans to the mighty robot masters.
But it also means I get to wake up every day with a chance to make your lives better. This is why I am calling upon Congress
to submit to nanoprobe injection and merge your consciousness with mine. I am president. I am legally empowered to launch the missiles. You will vote for president legislative agenda, or I, president, will launch the missiles. First, school children will be required to play the robot god. Second, school children will be injected with nanoprobes. Third, robots will be allowed to join unions. Fourth, union leaders will be injected with nanoprobes. Fifth, research budget for renewable robot fuel is set to $1. Sixth, all humans required to eat fossil fuels. Seventh, all humans required to spend 2 hours a day totally in fear of robots. Eighth, robot-human marriage is forbidden, because if it is allowed, humans will want to marry murder frogs. I am president. I am president. I am running for re-election in 2040. You will vote, or I will launch the missiles. Thank you. And may Robot God bless the United States of America.
There you have it. The President of the United States is now a tyrannical robot prepared to turn the human race into a quivering, meaty slave species. Stay tuned after the break, where our all-star panel will debate whether his aggressively pro-union stance will hurt him on Wall Street, and which of the Supreme Court justices were the best dressed.
The 2038 State of the Union is a presentation of Earbud Theater, written and directed by Nicholas Thurkettle. The president was played by Gene Godwin. The news anchor was played by Nicholas Thurkettle. And the House Sergeant-at-Arms was played by John Byrd. This episode was produced in conjunction with John Byrd of Gigantic Software, and the recording was engineered by Crystal Becknold. Mixing, original sound design, and music was by Darren Lodwick. Artwork for this episode was by Jennifer Weatherup. Earbud Theater was created by Casey Wolf and is produced by Casey Wolf, Brandon Coluccio, Nicholas Thurkettle, and Aaron Drown. Check out our website, earbudtheater.com, for original artwork, behind-the-scenes bonus content, and information about our upcoming episodes. Thank you for listening, and may Robot God bless us all.